Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network with your host, M.H. Scott. This is a one-hour interactive talk show. We'll talk college recruiting, athletic scholarships, and much more. Here's your host, M.H. Scott.
Hey, welcome to another Parents Coaching Parents Network show. I am your host, M.H. Scott, and folks, man, we're just going to change up just a little bit today. You know, normally I sit here and I bring in, you know, some folks that's affiliated with the network, and we just sit and talk about various things from being that great sports parent to, you know, all aspects of the sports industry, from the recreational level all the way through to being a college athlete and what parents need to know, what parents need to be doing in that space. But today I said we're going to change up a little bit. First of all, we're bringing in another guest from up north. In addition to that, he has his own philosophy and ideal on sports parenting. So we're going to unpack that today. And in doing so, hopefully it aligns with some of the things that you're doing. If not, don't worry about it, folks, because this game is ever-changing. And being this ever-changing game that it is, you'll understand it as you get deeper and deeper into it. But in the end, we are here to support you. We are here to guide you, assist you, mentor you, and educate you in all aspects of the sports industry. We're here to teach you the game. So this is M.H. Scott, host of the Parents Coach of Parents Network. You know, I can't start my show without first bringing in my man, Mr. Keith Wright, graduate University of Harvard. Keith did this little piece for us some years ago, and I have to stick with it because it speaks volumes to what these young athletes can consider and what they how they can benefit from being involved. Keith, where you at?
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-ball would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region. You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Hey, it's the Parents Coach of Parents Network.
You are listening to the number one
sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Hey, it's the Parents Coach of Parents Network. Hey, folks, we're back. We're back. We're back. And I told you that I got some information for you today, but I'm going to really allow my guest to unpack this whole concept of sports parenting and why it is so important that you be the best possible sports parent that you can be. You know, I often say here on the Parents Coach Parents Network that you must be your child's biggest advocate. In other words, you must be your child's very first agent in the sports industry. If you want to call in and join in on this conversation, you can always reach us at 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. So, without further ado, what I want to do now, I want to bring up our guest, Dr. Paul Gamble. Now, Paul is calling in, as I said earlier, from up north, folks. You know, we've always had them Canada guests. For whatever reason, we seem to have folks that want to share their insight and their views of what's going on in Canada. And that's awesome. That's awesome, awesome, awesome. You know, we had folks in from Canada. We have folks in from Australia. We have folks in from clear to the other side of the United States, California, so on and so forth. But anytime we get a special guest calling in from up north, up there in Canada, then we have to be hospitable and make sure that we do everything we can do to accommodate them because they're working just as hard as we are. Paul, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got caught up in this sports parenting space.
Sure. Well, I guess the first thing is I'm from the the UK actually. I'm from London, England, and I've travelled kind of UK, Europe, New Zealand, and now Canada for the past 5 years.
Okay.
And I'm a coach. I do have the PhD I got that in like 2005. So, and I've written various books for trainers, for like coaches, physio, therapists, that type of thing. And I've worked with youth in various sports, and I've been involved in that, pathway, and those experiences taught me that, parents are really pivotal. They're a critical player, and we need to do better to really, cater for parents as a key piece of the puzzle.
And you just unpacked a whole lot, so that's going to make this conversation even better because we got a whole lot to work with here. We definitely got a whole lot to work with here. So you went in on me. So you said you're originally from the UK. Wow. So how long have you been involved with sports?
So I got my start in pro rugby in 2001. I was in pro sport from then, and then 2006 I moved to squash and racquetball, big change. And then we went to New Zealand in 2011, and I was there for 6 years, and then we came to Canada in 2017, I think it was. Yeah. So, I've seen how it's kind of done in like various sports in all different kind of parts of the world as well. Different sporting cultures, and there's been some good kind of lessons that you can kind of take and fly from one sport to another, and one country to another as well.
Truly lessons learned, and as you can tell, folks, Paul has been around the game. Dr. Gamble has been around the game. Let's stick with that. Dr. Gamble has been around the game for quite some time. And that's very, very, and not only that, he's been around, it seems like, the international environment of the game. Oftentimes when we have conversations here, we primarily focus on what's happening here in the U.S. But as We have had folks on from various places, so we have that international conversation. So, Paul, if you want to just drop the word football in there a few times, I know that you're not talking about American football. I know you're talking about the great game of rugby, as they so call it.
Yes.
And right. We fully understand,
right,
because I had to learn that from our friends down there in Australia when they started talking about football. I'm like, okay.
Yes, yes.
I know they're not talking about American football. Then I had to think, are they talking about soccer or are they talking about rugby? So we finally got that clear.
And it varies down there. I mean, they could be talking about five different sports down there. I mean, they have Australian rules in football. They have rugby league football. They have rugby union football. They have football that's soccer. Yeah, so it's, it gets a little bit confusing down there.
Yes, yes, yes. I had to take my time and I had to go back and ask a few questions to make sure I understood and I was tracking what was going on. So, as you know,
yes,
he just recently came out with a book, and I just gave it a short title, but the full title of your book is what? Sports Parenting, and finish off the rest part for me.
You put me in it. Let me just check this because I don't want to get it wrong. Okay, sports parenting, negotiating the challenges of the youth sports journey to help kids thrive.
To help kids thrive. And see, again, that goes back to that being that advocate, folks, where we're helping our children thrive, helping them move forward, helping them to persevere, helping to overcome challenges and obstacles that may be in their way or in their face or in their lane during the time that they're trying to succeed in sports. You know, you talked about, and you titled the book, should I say, you titled the book Sports Parenting. And I was going to ask, do you have some children that's actually involved in the game, or this is just based upon observation and research?
So I began from a purely kind of, you know, coaching, you know, perspective. And then during the course of actually kind of writing the book, we actually had child arrived in December last year. So as I finished the the writing and the editing, I became a parent, and that very much made it real for me, and it really brought home how different the experience is coming from a parenting kind of lens versus as a, like coaching, view. The big kind of one is that as a parent, no one is more invested in your kid than you, right? And so, as a coach, obviously, I want my, the athlete to succeed, but I can and I will kind of walk away if they don't do what we need, right? And whereas as a parent, there is no kind of walking away. I mean, it's the coach athlete kind of interaction is conditional, whereas parenting is unconditional, and that is a real that was a really kind of key instance for me as I kind of wrote and edited the book.
And that all something that you just added on the end when you said the parenting part is unconditional. You know, that's the value and that's the volume.
Absolutely.
that holds everything together. That's the piece that makes this, oh man, such a reward on the end, just having that unconditional, unquestionable, you know, heartfelt. I don't know how many other words I could possibly come up with it and to describe what parents are doing in this space. But it has to be, folks. It has to be unconditional, unquestionable. Hey, Paul, what I want to do, I see that, you know, we got a little choppiness in the feed here. So what I want to do, I want to have you hang up, and then I'm going to call the number that shows up here on my switchboard through the service and see if that works any better.
Yeah.
All right? So we'll get right back to our guests, folks. I don't want you to go nowhere. But until then, you know, I'm going to leave you a little something. And let me see if we can make this work. And this is going to work out better for all of us. So Paul has dropped off. And during that time, Paul has dropped off. And I'm going to call Paul back. So until then, we're going to feel the groove. Sounds any better on your end?
Yes, yes, it is. It is.
Okay. Well, we're gonna move on with continue on with what we were talking about there, folks. We had to do something because we want to make sure that you get all this information that our guest is sharing with you today, and we don't want you to miss out on any piece of it. So as a result, we're gonna continue on with the conversation. Thank you for coming back to us there, Paul. You know, you talk about something in your book where you talk about how the sports parents community is being underserved. Please explain that, break that down for us a little bit.
Well, if we think of this as like a, you know, triad, so coach, performer, parent, we invest in, you know, coaches, you know, we educate, you know, coaches. We try to educate the athlete. We don't do anything for the parent, which makes no sense at all. As we've just since, you know, discussed, parents are absolutely pivotal, and we don't really do anything for them. We just we expect a great deal. We expect them to just pull a range of different roles, and we just expect parents to figure it out, and we don't really give them any help to do that. So that's why I say they're underserved, and I think in the reasons for that differ according to where you are in the world. I think in the US and Canada, the reason is it is an industry. Parents are viewed as kind of a cash cow, and the only thing that's really directed towards them is kind of sales and marketing, and there isn't really an incentive to educate them as a consumer, really. I think there's kind of a view that it's best just to keep them in the dark, really, and just keep taking their dollars.
And that's very interesting that you shared that part, Paul, and you unpacked every reason why I started the Parents Coaching Parents Network back in 2007, during the time that my son was going through the college recruiting process, and the folks was after him, and I was getting all the phone calls and the whole works, and I'm sitting here scratching my head like, okay, what to do? Who am I to listen to? And how do I figure and find my way through this process? But not only for that reason, for me to get a better understanding so that I can be able to better support his decisions as he moved forward. Because at the end of the day, it's all about him. It wasn't about me. I could have went and talked to the very first person that had a good conversation, and we could have went from there. And as an adult, I'm going to figure out and work my way so that I'm coming out okay on the other end. Whereas when I'm involving my son, or when I'm bringing my son into this process or into this fold, I need to make sure at the end of the day, he's reaching his own personal level of success. So that alone, Paul, is why I started the Parents Coaching Parents Network back in 2007. And I have several other affiliates throughout the United States and folks up in Canada that have similar programs based upon that same thing. One thing that I said at the beginning, you may have heard me say it. I said, we guide, we assist, we mentor, and we educate parents, that next generation of parents, because it's important that all those things happen. We want to bring them into the game. You talked about something else when you talked about parents and athletes falling prey. And just share a little bit about that part, Mir, because I know how things go here in the U.S. when we're talking about the two major revenue sports, American football and basketball.
Yeah.
It could be a very ugly situation in many cases. So give us some insight from your perspective.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think, kids fall prey in various different, ways. Like the most common is that their needs are not met, and what they are actually, wanting out of sport isn't really served. The most common outcome of that is kids just, walk, and they don't, they be hit kind of age 12, age 13, kids just drop out. For those that don't drop out, they can also fall prey in terms of getting injured, putting all of their eggs in the kind of basket of sport, like hoping that they're going to make pro, and then when they don't, they don't have anything else, right? And so kids fall prey in various different ways, and all of them aren't good, and some of them can be pretty kind of catastrophic, really. you know, from parents, I think, well, mainly from total prey in terms of getting taken in by marketing and being persuaded that if they don't do this, if they don't do that, then their kid's going to kind of miss out. And they get kind of taken in, and they get a distorted view of what is in their kid's best interest. And that's how they tend to get kind of taken in, really.
You know, just that alone, and just hearing it from someone else, that just validated, you know, things that I have went through, things that other parents have came here on the Parents Culture Parents Network and shared, and just said that we're on the right track to making sure that every parent that has a child involved in sports gets the best out of it with some education, some understanding of what you're getting involved in. You know, just real quick, I can think of a situation where, you know, I had folks that was trying to speak in the best interest of my son during the time that he was going through the recruiting process, you know, and I had to let the news folks know and social media platforms know and say, hey, okay, only person that's going to provide you with any information should be either myself, my son's coach, if he's, you know, in that particular area of understanding and area of expertise as far as coaching and my son's development and things of that nature, and my son. If it's somebody outside of that circle, please do not take that information for anything of value, because it is not. And then my son got to the point where he got so tired of, you know, the marketing hype and all that kind of stuff, he just started giving everybody my phone number. So all the calls came into my phone because he didn't want to answer the calls and have to entertain the conversation. So he would give folks my phone number. And then when they would call me, he'd know, you know, if he's in the house at the time that they call, he'll come and look at me. If I nod my head or I say the coach's name and he want to talk to the coach or he has an interest, then he'll stick his hand out reaching for the phone. But if he shook his head and walked away, went back in his room or went back downstairs, then that means, oh, you don't want to talk to that coach. And I'll have to very kindly tell the coach, well, coach, or he just stepped out or he's in the shower right now, or I'll have him give you a call back at some other time. But, yeah, we had to deal with it that way. But, yes, it is so true that coaches and not coaches, but parents and athletes try to avoid falling prey to, you know, what's going on out there in the industry, you know. And I can imagine how things are when we're talking about elite-level football, or if we're talking about, you know, the game of soccer or one of the other games that's really a premier game in your area. You know, you talked about something else in your book that I want you to unpack, and then we're going to take a little break after you share this with us. But you talked about the different facets of talent development.
Yes.
Tell us exactly what you're talking about. And, folks, I'm giving you some nuggets coming out the book, so you may want to go out there and get your own copy of the book. But I'm just going to let Paul go ahead and finish telling us about the different facets of the talent development.
Yeah, it's kind of a vague concept. I mean, we obviously, you know, like talents are varied, physical, mental, athletic, and how we best hone each of those things also does kind of change. And so I think it's best to think of this as a journey or a quest, whereby our aim is to give kids the tools that they will like need to you know, deal with the various kind of, you know, challenges that they will face on this, you know, quest that may and probably will last for years and years, right? And give them the tools in their armory that they can kind of like tackle the unexpected as well. So it's almost, you know, our aim is to create and to equip the most capable performers that can kind of deal and can, you know, cope with anything really. So obviously that's a very multifaceted process. That it evolves over time. It is a journey, and our kind of role in it as a coach, as a parent, as a mentor, is to be as you said, their kind of guide to deal with things as they come up, but also how to foresee what they're going to need for the next stage. And, you know, it isn't just about what they need here and by now. It's what will they need in 6 months' time, a year's time, 2 years, you know, like, and being able to have that policy type that doesn't really come naturally to a child, because you know, they're very much in the here and now, whereas we can, you know, give them that kind of, you know, the long term kind of view on it almost.
You know, Paul, I'm going to tell you, you just knocked it out the park with that point right there, because we stress that all the time. Okay. Having that foresight, you know, understanding how you can add value to what your child is doing. You know, I often tell young athletes, and I share this with their parents as well, I said, you know, whether or not we're talking about being in the classroom as a student, whether or not we're talking about being out on the basketball court or football field or wherever you're at, whatever sport you're involved in, you learn something from the coach. But you not only learn that little piece from the coach, what you want to do with that piece, you want to add value to that piece. You want to have that piece grow. You want to learn more than what the coach is teaching you. So don't just be subtle or just complacent with learning just this one little piece. If he teaches you to throw the ball, or if he teaches you how to get a good kick in there, or if he teaches, you know, some running techniques or whatever it is, okay, you want to add to that. Because adding to that what takes you to your next phase or your next stage or your next developmental spot that you should be at. Because if you're stuck with just learning what he just taught you, you're not going anywhere. You'll be stagnant. You'll be in the same spot for quite some time. Paul, what we going to do, we're going to step away for a hot second, but you just knocked it out the park with that here last one that you shared with us. But we're going to come back and we're going to unpack some more things and keep on rocking and rolling here on the Parents Coach Parents Network. Folks, if you want to join in on this conversation here with Dr. Gamble, you can reach us at, after the break, you can reach us at 516-453-9932. I'm going to say that again, 516-453-9932. This is the Parents Coach Parents Network. This is M.H. Scott.
You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region.
I need it.
Hey, Sean! Let's go show, Dallas.
Hey, don't go anywhere. The Parents Coaching Parents Network with your host, M.H. Scott, will be back in just a few moments.
Guys, athletes, scholarship, mentors,
help you
and elevate.
Parents coaching, parents network,
know the game.
Mr. Scott, Coach Klein, just calling to check in with you. I'm on my way to Patterson School today. I'll see Mike again tomorrow.
Mr. Scott, how you doing? This is Jeff Battle again. We got disconnected. If there's any problems or whatever, Coach Muse is looking forward to showing you guys around. My cell number, Mike, this is Skip Prosser from Wake Forest. It's about 7:40. I understand you went by campus to...
Mr. Scott, it's Coach Fernandez here with the University of Miami. Hey, hope is well. I just wanted to touch bases with you. I think your son was coming home this weekend and wanted me to give you a call. Hope...
Hey there, Mr. Scott. This is Chris Pompey, New Mexico State University. Saw your son play during the summer with Lou Williams. If you can, give me a call at your...
Hey, Mr. Scott. This is Coach Bradley down at Clemson. If you had a chance, my cell is 864.
This message will be saved for...
Hey, Michael. George Johnson again with the NBPA. We are playing phone tag. If it's okay...
Mike Scott, Dan Williams, Philadelphia School District Sports Administration, Compliance, NCAA. You left...
Hey, Mike, this is John B. Lott, the head coach at West Virginia. Try to get in touch with you here, so I want to talk with you a little bit about your son. I know he's at home.
Hey, Mr. Scott, Dave Lake, Oklahoma. It's about 6:15. Football as well. I talked to Coach Keats earlier today, and he said he had a conversation with you.
Next message.
Hey, Mr. Scott, Coach Keats, call me back with your fax.
Good evening, Mr. Scott. This is Chris Horn giving you a call back from thesaber.com. I hope all's going well. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Sorry about it. I was actually just...
Scott, this is Justin Young, editor of Rivals.com Basketball Recruiting. I just wanted to give you a call this morning. It's 9:45. I understand.
Mr. Scott, how are you? This is...
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA Draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
Guide, athletes, scholarship, mentor, and elevate. Parents, coaching, parents, know the game.
Hey, folks, we're back. Again, if you want to join in on this conversation, we're talking to Dr. Gambles, who is involved in the international game, has had the pleasure of being around for quite some time, folks. I'm talking about decades involved in sports and heavily involved in the coaching aspects of things, as well as the development of the next generation of athletes. You know, but not only that. He has taken the time out of his day, you know, to share his perspective and ideals and concepts that he has put together in this great book called Sports Parenting. And I keep forgetting the full name of the book, but folks, if you go up on Amazon, the book is out there, and trust and believe. The book will be of value. The book will be, it will add value to what you're doing in the athletic space or in the space of recreation with your child. Again, if you want to join in on our conversation, 516-453-9932. Let us know, hey, you got a question. We'll get you on in. You can ask Dr. Gamble the question, and we can go from there. Dr. Gamble, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
We appreciate it. So you finished off talking about, you know, the different facets of talent development. And, you know, we concluded with, you know, just adding that value to the life of the child, just making sure that that child understands how to move forward, you know, how to get the best out of their situation, you know. But I want to switch a little bit and talk about finding the new common ground to collaborate. And why do we want to find this new common ground to collaborate with coaches and teachers and all the other folks that's involved in this industry? Why not just stay isolated? What's the value of finding that new common ground?
Yeah, I mean, so if we assume that you found the the right coach and the kind of real kind of best environment, there is so much common ground. I mean, we should, as a coach and as a parent, want what's best for the athlete. athlete. And we should both want them to succeed in sport and in life as well, right? We should both be interested in helping them fulfill their, you know, potential. And in order to do all of those things, we should be willing and able to kind of join volunteers to do that. Because it is, it is coaching and parenting, there are so kind of many, kind of parallels. They are similar. They aren't the same, but they're similar. As a parent your age, you do, coach your child, right? And as a coach, you are in a kind of a, I've been kind of a father figure to the kids that I've coached in a kind of weird kind of way. So there is a lot of parallel. There's a lot of common ground, and it makes too much sense to not work as a team and actually tonight join forces and actually collaborate. And it should be a team of, as I said, athlete, coach, parent, and each of those players should be kind of trying to steer in the same direction. And as I said, it just makes too much sense to kind of not do that.
And I agree with you 100% on that, because that's where you start to really develop and help your athlete home in on their true skill, their true talent. When you have that team concept, when you have all the key players on the same page, oh man, that makes out for an awesome result.
Exactly.
Without a doubt.
I mean, why wouldn't you do that?
Exactly. You're building a situation based upon what you just said. We're building a situation of a win-win-win scenario. The athlete wins, the team that he or she is involved with wins, and overall, the community wins, or the parent wins, if you want to look at it from that perspective. So you want to build that type of synergy so that everybody comes out on the other end with their heads held high, and they know it's a win. Once again, as I said, we just knocked it out the park. But not only just knocked it out the park, but the crowd goes wild. The crowd goes wild. The crowd goes wild on a situation like that, because it's one of those things, man. And we can't beat that with a stick. That's why. Not only having you on here today and you sharing your insight, I've had other folks on from various parts of the world, various parts of the country here in the U.S., had different parents on, have several other affiliates that come on from time to time, and they share what they have went through with their children. But that information being poured into the next generation of sports parents turns out again be a win-win-win situation. Sir, you dropping some nuggets here today, and that's all I can say about it. I can just imagine looking at, what's in the book, the details that's contained in your book that adds volume to the next generation of parents. I know that you have some tips and some great principles and things of that nature out there. If you could share just a handful of them with us, man, I think we have sold this day, and we can walk away with this day, our heads held high, because we have reached the gold medal at the Olympics.
So in each of chapters of the book, each at the end, there is a summary with tips, it's to try and kind of make it real and actually, you know, tangential, but what do I do with, you know, what I've just been told? I think probably the best tip is to think in terms of it being a kind of a real like journey, and to understand that the parent kind of role is going to evolve during the course of that, you know, quest that we're on. You know, what a kid kind of needs from us when they're 4, 5, 6 is very kind of different to what they need from us when they're 14, 15, 16. And being able to evolve, you know, with that is really kind of critical. And the best kind of way to kind of manage that change and that evolution is to view it as a ongoing negotiation. So talking to your child and actually asking them, how do you kind of want to do this? Like, what are the parameters? How involved do you want me to be? What do you want from me during practice prior to on the drive home? What are the kind of the terms of having engagement? And have, you know, both kind of agree on those things. And then we won't get that friction that we can get, particularly with teens. In terms of other tips, I think don't try and assume what they want from sport to, you know, let's be clear on what their kind of goals and aspirations are. And the only, you know, way to actually really kind of be clear on those things is to ask them. And to like know that will change with time. So, you know, bring that up every now and then just to check in, see what they're aiming for here. What do they really kind of want out of this now, in a year's time? Where is, you know, where is this going to end? You know, what are they aiming towards? And once we know that things get much, much clearer, eh? I mean, often parents have an idea, but they aren't really kind of clear. And if those things don't kind of match up, then we tend to kind of run into strife that we can kind of avoid at the conversation.
You know, you are so correct, because all of those things have so much. Oh, they seal the deal. That's how I look at it. They seal the deal, because now you know what direction your child wants to move in. If he or she is pursuing to play at the next level, whatever that next level is, whether or not you're talking about a recreational level child trying to move on to play at the school level, or whether or not you're talking about someone in high school trying to move on to play at the collegiate level, or if you're talking about going from the collegiate level onto a professional stage, you know, that obstacle may be slightly different because now we're talking about moving into a place of employment if you're talking about playing at a professional level. So, you know, that's a slightly different avenue to take. But hey, if at some point in time it's all possible, hey, we can do that. So when you say that you've worked with athletes over the years, is there any particular age group that you primarily focus on? Are we talking about the youth level you know, everything from 5 up to about 10, 11, 12 year old, or we're talking about the school age level from your, you know, 10 through 15, 16, 17, or are we talking about more of a collegiate athlete, 18 and above? Or
yeah,
are we talking about professionals?
Yeah, in each, I mean, I've kind of done it already, and but in all of those kinds of roles, I was involved in the kind of the pathway to like get to the top level. For instance, in the you know, in being a pro kind of rugby, you have like a full-time academy, which is kind of college age, so kind of 18 to 20, 21, 22. And then you have a feeder tier, which is anything from 13 to, you know, the end of school, so like 13 to 17, 18. And in the, in different kind of roles, I have gone down to 9, you know, 10, 11, 12, you know, like those kind of tween kind of years as well. And it does vary according to the sport too, you know, like for instance in swimming, in, gymnastics, they start much, much sooner. So those kind of age brackets do kind of move down a lot. I've been involved in kind of all of those phases. I mean, I haven't done as much in that like pre-age, you know, like so when they're 5 to 9, it's been, you know, kind of above that in the main anyway. Yeah, so I've kind of surfed that kind of wave a lot, but what I've really found is that as a coach, you can have the real kind of biggest impact is in that kind of youth space. And whilst I was kind of working with the pros and the senior athletes, you can, you know, obviously you can improve them, but you can only improve them so far. You know, they have like a ceiling. Whereas with, you know, the youth, so like kind of 12 to 21, I would say, you can have a really profound, you know, transformation if you get it right. You know, the kind of the growth and the, you know, natural processes are all going in your favor if you get it right. You can really kind of transform kids into these giant kind of Hamiltonian, you know, kind of machines, and you're like, wow, is that this kid that I you know got from like 2 years ago? It's awesome.
You know, once again, Paul, I'm telling you, man, you're killing it today. You are putting out so much great information. I got to give you another crowd. Yeah. You know, because of the fact that so much valuable information you have shared with us today. And parents, if you didn't get nothing out of this, I'm telling you, you must have been asleep. You must be asleep. You must be standing there, sitting there, full asleep if you didn't get nothing out of this conversation today. Again, we got a few seconds there, parents. You want to jump in or you got a quick question? 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. You may be able to squeeze in and get the last question in before we wrap it up. Well, Paul, give us a way if folks can follow you. First of all, give us where they can find the book. If they can find it on your website, or do they just need to strictly go to Amazon and give us that full name again so they know what they're looking for?
Sure. I mean, probably the easiest hit is just go, you know, direct to Amazon, you know, whatever it is in your country. And the title is Sports Parenting, and the subtitle is Negotiating the Challenges of the Youth Sports Journey to Help Kids Thrive. And it's Paul Gamble.
Folks, I'm telling you, I think he has something in this book. I haven't had a chance to peel it open yet, but I will have my chance here real soon to peel one open, and we may have to bring you back in, Paul, just to answer some of the additional questions I have after I go through some of them pages, because definitely you've shared some great information with us this afternoon, and congratulations first and foremost on your book. You know, we have one out as well called You Don't Know What You Don't Know, The Sports Parents Guide, and we put that information out just to tell parents. But as you see, parents, and I got sidetracked on trying to finish that one thought, but just what Paul shared with us this afternoon, It just validates everything I say when I say you don't know what you don't know, because he shared so much great information with us today. Again, Paul, we thank you. Do you have anything out there on social media where folks can follow you, they can keep up with what you're doing and how well the book is moving, or they can send you some comments on, hey, folks, if you get the book off of Amazon, please make sure you get the right book by Dr. Paul Gamble. I'm going to give you that name again, Dr. Paul Gamble. You can look at our Facebook page, Parents Coach Parents Network Facebook page. His name will be up there. There may be a couple other books out there called Sports Parent or Sport Parent or Sports Parenting or Sport Parenting or whatever it is. I want you to get the one from Dr. Paul Gamble. All right, get that book. When you get that book, leave a comment. You go to Amazon, you know, they want you to leave your comments, recommendations, and all this other accolades. Put your thoughts up there. Once you have a chance to read it, go back and put your thoughts in there and let Paul know, hey, how well he's put this thing together and great information that he has shared. We appreciate you, Paul. If you have any social media sites that you want to share with our listening audience, it'd be great, sir.
Sure. The one on Twitter is Informed in Sport. So Informed in Sport.
You might have to break that down for me, because I didn't understand exactly what you said. You said Involved in Sports?
Informed. So Informed in Sport.
Gotcha. Informed in Sports. Gotcha.
There you go.
And that's on Twitter.
Yes.
Right.
And that's kind of it, really. I mean, I don't do Facebook. I went off that in like 2010, I think. So.
Okay. Hey. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all, sir. Nothing wrong with that at all. I just do it just to keep the information out there and keep the information relevant.
Yeah, perfect.
But we truly appreciate you joining us today, and sorry for the glitch as far as the initial audio, but we worked through that and got that fixed, and hey, we're looking forward to having you back someday soon and hearing about the latest and greatest or next evolution that you step into or the next book that you put out.
Yeah, maybe.
All right.
Thank you.
Give our parents one closing thought.
Sure. I think one of the hardest things as a parent is we can do too much. And sometimes my closing thought would be, do not do for them what they are capable of doing for themselves. I think our aim as a coach or a parent is that they're able to deal when we aren't there. So that's our aim all the time, eh? So don't do for them what they are capable of doing for themselves.
Wow. That by itself, again, he done dropped so many nuggets today, folks. I can't give him a crowd go wild. I got to give him at the buzzer. Hey, we did some things today. Folks, it's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun. We've had Dr. Gamble on with us here today, and he has shared some great information. As always, we thank you for joining us here on the Parents Coach the Parents Network. And, man, I'm telling you, you may have to go back and listen to this episode just to catch all these nuggets on several occasions. But, you know, I like to always close out with my little piece here called Feel the Groove. Where is it at? Feel the Groove. Here we go. Enjoy your day, folks.